All right, welcome back to the show. Joe Stasiak in the house till 8 o'clock tonight. Tyler's really behind the glass taking your calls. This stuff drives me insane, Ty. If it happened to me, and even if it didn't happen to me, which it did not, this drives me nuts. First of all, I don't do traffic. I can't deal with traffic. To me, it's senseless. It's insane. It's a waste of life. Sometimes there's no reason for it. There was an outdoor game in at the Air Force Academy last night between the Kings and the Avs. Kings won the game 3-1. It took people 4.5 hours to get there from Denver, which should be about a 40-minute ride. The traffic was so ridiculous. Throngs of people were getting there as the third period started, walking into the stadium, and had been on the road for 4 to 5 hours. Most of them, they missed a concert in between periods. Most of them asking for their refunds. I mean, how do you not know logistically what is about to happen on a weekend when you have this major event? And I know you can't foresee some incidental traffic accidents, but they totally botched this from the beginning. They had no idea how to move traffic in and out, and they had some other issues, and it took 4.5 hours. This was the Air Force Academy's job, to be in charge of filtering people in and out and getting people in and out in a timely fashion like they do at other sporting events. Now, I know there were some unforeseen issues, but it should not have been 4 to 5 hour delays, and this was a mess.
Yeah, here's the thing with that. I understand that the Air Force football games probably don't generate what that game generated in terms of traffic, revenue, people, everything. But this is not like they put together an outdoor hockey game at your local rec center 45 minutes before, announced it 45 minutes before. This game was known to be played at this particular spot at this particular time for months now. There's got to be a contingency plan.
Got to be.
How there was none, I don't understand.
Embarrassing.
And they really don't have any merit to... I understand on the back of the ticket, a lot of times it's like, you know, buyer of this ticket assumes all responsibility. You lost all that good stuff. You cannot tell me that I can't get into the stadium for 5 hours, I missed the game. They better get their money back.
So many of them are out of their minds and demanding a refund of these tickets. It's unbelievable. Now, I'll ask you, because I know you're a sports head, and you'll probably get this, but it's a trivia question for you. It's a Stasiak trivia question. I used to do sideline for Mountain West Network football. I used to do college football sideline, so they would send me to San Diego State and Air Force Academy, all the schools out west, Wyoming. I did a game at the Air Force Academy. I covered this kid who was good in college. Like, he was like one of the stars. Like, in prep, my preparation that week, it was, all right, this kid's good. He's graduating. He has a slight injury. Find him at some point during the game and interview him, okay? I was a sideline guy, so I would have to go fish him out, get him, grab him, tell my producer, and blah, 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 blah. I covered this kid, had no idea who he was at the time. Zero. Only did I know a couple years later that he resurfaced in the NFL, played in a Super Bowl, and has an Eagles connection. Name that player. Played for the Air Force Academy.
Okay.
He, during the game, he got injured. Not that it mattered. He was a very, very good, should I mention his position? He was a good offensive player for the Air Force Academy. After the game, never thought twice about him until a couple years later, his name resurfaced.
As an Eagle? Or as a Super Bowl winner?
Well,
or as a Super Bowl participant?
He was a Super Bowl participant in 2012 in the San Francisco Ravens game.
Wow.
But he did have a Philadelphia connection at one time, yes. When Andy Reid was here, Andy Reid employed him, and he did play. He got a cup of coffee for the Philadelphia Eagles. But ended up playing in a Super Bowl with San Francisco, losing the game. But this kid, I just remember, because I remember doing him during the game, thinking, this kid's never going to make it anywhere. He comes up to my waist. You know, he's a little kid.
I mean, I got to tell you, the only Air Force guy that comes to mind in that time frame, and even in that time frame, seems a little too early, I guess, would be Chad Hall.
Very good.
And it's the only name I can think of when it comes to Air Force football.
See, I knew you would get it. See, I had faith in you, my friend. That's outstanding. Good job, Ty. You got to give yourself a hand.
Did he transition to...
Give yourself a hand. He was a running back.
A running back?
He was a running back in college.
Oh, was he really? Mm. Oh, I thought he was some. Oh, you know what? I'm thinking of Max Hall.
Or maybe was he running back / wide receiver, but he ended up being a running back for Andy Reid.
Okay.
As you remember. But yeah, I forgot about him, and all of a sudden, Andy brings this kid back, this little blonde kid, Chad Hall. I'm like, Chad Hall, wait, it's timeout. I know that kid.
I talked to this guy.
I talked to that kid. I looked him up, Air Force Academy, and then he ends up getting, he hangs in the league for a little bit, ends up playing in a Super Bowl with the Ravens. Amazing how sometimes your career goes in a different direction that you would think. But anyway, that just sparked my memory thinking about the Air Force Academy, how beautiful it is there in Colorado Springs. But how miserable it was last night, apparently, for that outdoor game. Mike and King of Prussia here on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Michael?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
All right, bud.
I just wanted to call in because I can't stand the fraud Villanova fandom whenever they're in the tournament. And, like, I really hate when the radio stations, especially 97.5, start saying how pushing people in Philadelphia to root for Villanova, even if they went to another college, and saying that we should just be happy because they're a team from Philadelphia. It drives me nuts. I fly my Temple flag. Villanova kids are from North Jersey, and they all think their dad's Tony Soprano. I hate that school. I'll never root for them, and I always hope they lose. I don't consider them actually a Philly school.
I agree. I'm from Nova. I don't ever suggest or even care if anyone roots for my team just because they're from outside of Philadelphia. Okay. To me, if you're not a Nova fan, then what do you need to root for Nova for? If you're a Temple fan, you know, it's not like I'm going to root for the Giants just because they're in the Eagles division if they're the only representative we have coming out of the East.
I just hate the forced fandom. Like, you're not a true Philadelphia fan if you don't root for a team that's making a deep run. It just seems fraudulent to me. And honestly, that school would never root for Temple. So Temple should never root for Villanova ever. And if you do, you're a complete fraud.
I agree. No, I totally agree. I don't think there should be any crossover there. No crossover at all.
When I heard that talk, I just had to weigh that in because I just can't stand the school. I can't stand Jay Wright and his stupid suits. I hate the whole. They're like Duke Light. Like they're fans that go to the game are just a bunch of fraud nerds that are pretending to like basketball. It's just a school you can't get behind.
You know, I would love to go back and forth with you on this, but I have to run. I got Marcus Hayes on the Comcast Business Hotline. Mike, call in again if you want after we're done with the interview. I'd like to go toe-to-toe with you on that. We could have some fun with that. But like I mentioned on the Comcast Business Hotline, beyond fast, he is the great Marcus Hayes from the Philadelphia Inquirer. What's up, Marcus?
You can't go toe-to-toe with some guy if you agree with him.
No, I have some other things I want to say to him. The things that he just said towards the end there that I take issue with a little bit. But I agree with him on the first thing he said, but not the last. He took some shots at my crew, so I'm going to hopefully he calls back. Hey, have you been listening at all? Have you been listening at all? Because I just threw my producer a trivia question, and I'll throw you at the end of this interview regarding a kid that played at the Air Force Academy. Were you listening?
I was not listening.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
I'm not a huge sports trivia aficionado like Jack Shore from the Associated Press, but
well, you'll know this. It's Eagles related. You'll have an inside track to it because I think you'll get it. But I'm just curious to see if you can pull it out of the air like Tyler did. But how you doing, man? I haven't talked to you in a while. It's been a while. It's probably since before the Super Bowl. So let's backtrack a little bit. Andy Reid finally gets it done 2 weeks ago. Pulls it out last 7 minutes, 21 straight points. You think Big Red deserves his trophy? Was it only fitting, and does that put him into the Hall of Fame?
Well, he won the trophy by doing all the things that he had a hard time doing up until that moment. They seem to be very, very organized at the end, and they weren't supposed to be, right?
Right.
So, I mean, that's kind of the bugaboo. He can't make adjustments. Well, he adjusted pretty well.
He did. You happy for him? Are you on board with him? You were a Big Red guy?
Yeah, I don't... if Big Red can't get in the Hall of Fame because he didn't win a Super Bowl, then neither can Dan Marino.
Right.
Neither can Jim Kelly.
Right.
You know, this is not, you know, this ain't tennis and this ain't golf. So that whole argument is, to me, you know, just fraudulent. And it's not like he coached them out of championships or out of contention. There was a, you know, several things happened several times during his myriad playoff runs. He's a spectacular coach. And the NFL needs more Andy Reid. It needs a lot less Bill Belichick and a lot more Andy Reid.
Yeah, well, certainly we'd like to congratulate Andy. He did a phenomenal job. I thought Casey pulling that one out of their rear ends. Again, another phenomenal comeback, third straight, one in a row. It is the offseason for the Philadelphia Eagles, and, you know, Carson Wentz didn't quite make it through the playoff game. They need some help in some certain and many areas. Where do they begin to kind of get this team back on track, Marcus?
Well, they have no cornerbacks. They have zero cornerbacks. You know, they have one safety under contract. I shouldn't say that. They have two safeties under contract, but one's happy, and the other one says he's not coming back. So their defensive backfield is non-existent for all intents and purposes. And you can't start having a conversation about the Eagles until you resolve that or determine how you're going to resolve that. I mean, everybody wants to cut, you know, DeSean Jackson or cut Alshon Jeffrey. Those guys are owed a lot of money that will affect your cap. Even if you trade those guys, you're going to absorb massive cap casualties. So I'm not sure that either one of those guys goes anywhere. And at that point, you stop having the conversation about your wide receiver core. And if you, I mean, you're sort of pot committed to who you have on the offensive line. You've got a quarterback. You might go out and get another running back. I don't see how you can have the conversation about anything except, you know, two linebackers and three cornerbacks. That's what you have to have, because what you had this season, you know, you can't fool us again. These young cornerbacks aren't good. They're just not.
So is that how they go about them? Do they wait for free agency, or are they going to try to home pick some of these guys?
I think you have to spend two draft choices on them, and you hope you get somebody in free agency that can be a solid cornerback. And understand this, too. They didn't expect this cornerback core this year to be outstanding. They expected it to be mediocre. It was way worse than mediocre.
Yeah.
Thank goodness they got rid of Corey Unlin, the overrated cornerbacks coach, defensive backs coach. That said, they spent all of their assets over the last several years on the defensive line, because that's what, you know, that's what Jim Schwartz is. He's a defensive line coach who happens to be able, you know, happens to have the capacity to call plays. He's actually a linebackers coach who knows that linebackers are useless in the NFL, especially if you don't have a defensive line. But they have three first-round picks, two of whom they've extended, one of whom they've extended twice on their defensive line, plus Malik Jackson, who I wrote about today, who was supposed to be the guy that replaced Chris Long and or Michael Bennett.
Right.
That's where they put their resources. So those guys have to play well. Michael Bennett has to come, not Michael Bennett, but Malik Jackson has to come off injury, play well, and make that the best unit on the team. That's the reason the Philadelphia Eagles didn't advance in the playoffs and didn't have as good a season, because their defensive line wasn't very good. Fletcher Cox had 3.5 sacks. Derek Barnett had 6.5, but he was, you know, what did he miss? Three games?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, accumulated four personal foul penalties. He was as bad as he was good. He was, I believe I looked at him up on Pro Football Focus, which, you know, has its flaws. But he was the worst defensive lineman on his own team. He wasn't in the top 75 defensive linemen in the National Football League this year. So that's a huge issue. They have to get better up front and get mediocre in the back end for them to be successful.
What changes did they have to do along the offensive side of the football, and does Jordan Howard come back?
It sort of depends on the Jordan Howard market and what they think Jordan Howard can bring them in tandem with Miles Sanders. I'm a big proponent of, you know, two-year deals for, you know, $4 million guaranteed, maybe $7 million total for a guy like Jordan Howard. I don't think he's worth, I don't think any running back really, unless it's an elite guy, and you can have that conversation, do elite running backs matter, unless it's an elite guy, is worth more than that in a very replaceable position. I mean, you had a second-round pick, another second-round pick, have a, you know, a spectacular rookie season in this system, you know, where Ted Williams, the former running backs coach, he gets Deuce Staley, the current running backs coach, and it continues the lineage between, you know, Ricky Waters, Deuce Staley, Ryan Westbrook, LeSean McCoy, and, you know, now it looks like Miles Sanders. So I think running back is an area where you don't really have to invest a whole lot. But I don't, you know, it's a bumper crop of wide receivers. They have to get faster. It's just that simple. Even if DeSean Jackson is back, they have to get faster. They need more speed, especially at the wide receiver position.
And they do that through the draft?
Yeah, they can. But none of the wide receivers that they're going to be able to draft are going to be just Adwater players.
Right.
Just like last year, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside was not a just Adwater player, despite everybody saying he was. You never know if there's a just Adwater player. Usually those are the guys that are very physically developed, and J.J. was pretty physically developed, but he wasn't ready for prime time.
Unfortunately. Marcus Hayes on the Comcast Business Hotline. Marcus, Doug Peterson looks like not going to go with a traditional offensive coordinator to replace Mike Groh. What do you think of that?
I think Carson Wentz didn't want an offensive coordinator.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Absolutely.
Why?
Did you see the, what was it, All or Nothing or whatever that Netflix thing or Amazon Prime?
I have not seen it yet. No, I have not seen it yet.
There was no interaction between Carson Wentz and Mike Groh.
Okay.
I mean, he's above it. He's beyond it. You know, he answers to one person, and that's Doug Peterson. So why you know, front and have a middleman?
Did he answer to Frank Reich?
He did answer to Frank Reich. He answered to John DeFilippo. John DeFilippo and Frank Reich are the reason Carson Wentz was a viable option his first two seasons. Those guys are really, really good coaches. Frank Reich is a very, very good offensive coordinator. DeFilippo is a good quarterbacks coach, and that might be their ceiling. But that's fine. That's what they did for Philadelphia, and they did it spectacularly. And until Carson Wentz has voices like that in his ear again, telling him no and not acceding to all of his wishes, which is exactly what happened at the beginning of... Until that happens, Carson Wentz won't reach his potential. He won't be a top-10 quarterback. I think we agree that he has the potential to be a top 3 or 4 quarterback every year, including this bumper crop of super athletes that are playing quarterback now. However, he's got a long way to go before he is that. And he had a great season. He really did have a good season. But he had a really, really good season once he understood what he could do and what the offense needed him to do. Just like who? Your boy Nick Foles.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. And let me ask you something, because it sounds to me like if that's the case and he doesn't want to hear anything from Mike Groh, does he come off as a little petulant and a little spoiled, Carson Wentz, he's above that?
Well, I mean, there was an entire series of articles written by Philly Voice 2 years ago that painted him just that way, according to several sources in the locker room.
Right.
I heard that long before and since. That article came out. Carson Wentz is who he is. You know, Dan Marino was too. Brett Favre was too. Most alpha entities want to do things their way. But the best alpha entities understand what they can and can't do. And Carson Wentz is a 1AA quarterback who has had, you know, 3 incomplete seasons, if you consider that his first preseason was truncated, and a truncated postseason. So I don't know that Carson Wentz understands what he can and can't do. For example, there's no way Carson Wentz should have been trying to scramble on the play where he was hurt.
Right.
That was a cheap shot, but he needs to throw that ball away as soon as the screen is blown up. That ball's out of his hand. But it's Carson Wentz, so can he learn? Is his head too hard? Well, it wasn't hard enough that day.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I guess he has to listen to Doug Peterson, but if he's just not going to listen to anybody, he's going to continue to do the same things, and he's going to continue to get the same result, correct?
I can't see where it changes. I mean, when Frank Reich and John DeFilippo left the organization, Carson Wentz got the hammer over Press Taylor and Mike Groh, two guys who probably should have never had the jobs that they were handed. They didn't earn them. They were handed these jobs. Mike Groh's been handed everything he's ever gotten. He's Al Groh's kid. That's his claim to fame. You know, so all that said, and I will say this, Press Taylor knows how to coach quarterback mechanics. He knows how to coach quarterback progression. He understands the cerebral part of coaching quarterback. Carson's improved in those areas under him. But when it comes to reining in a guy when you're trying to formulate a game plan and tailor the play calling and the sequencing not only to what Carson Wentz likes, but to what his weapons can do, Press Taylor ain't the guy.
Was it obvious, and I will be watching the show on Amazon regarding the Eagles, was it obvious that he was blowing off the offensive coordinator and not speaking to him? You picked it up because you know what the ins and outs and what's going on. If I was just a lay viewer and didn't really know the Eagles, would I be able to tell that there's a little problem here with the coach and the quarterback?
There's no problem anymore. He got him fired.
No, I know, but when it was going on?
In the moment, no, you wouldn't have noticed it unless you knew how the NFL offensive systems work and how much dialogue there needs to be and really, like, cooperation and discipline and subordination there needs to be between an offensive coordinator and every player on the offense, you probably wouldn't have picked it up. But to me, it was jarring that you didn't see very much of that. You didn't see a boss and an employee. And that's the relationship it has to be.
Interesting. So going forward, without this offensive coordinator, do you think the Eagles and Carson Wentz will be in a better place this year?
It's kind of like the Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons question. It's up to him. You know, it's up to the players to make the steps that the coaches are telling them they need to make, to do the things the coaches are telling them they need to do. You cannot debate that Doug Peterson is a very, very bright offensive mind. He certainly understands quarterbacking and coaching quarterbacks, and he understands how his offense works and how his offense works best for his players. But that's an awful lot on his. Doug Peterson's workload just increased by 40-45%.
Yeah.
Being the head coach of a football team, it's not like you can say, okay, I'm here, I'm only going to talk to the offensive guys for these 4 days. Doug Peterson is effectively the CEO of football operations. Every single thing that happens, he has to sign off on. Plans, game plans, meeting schedules, days off. It's more administrative than you can imagine. And he now has to be the offensive coordinator. You know, and I honestly think too many cooks, you know, ruin dinner. It's just a mess right now. And until he takes the reins, until he says, okay, this is my life, which I don't think is healthy, until he does that, you've got a mess, and they've got a mess.
Yeah, it sounds it. I know you're giving out facts. I'm trying to get your opinion on this. Is Carson Wentz... This sounds disturbing. Is Carson Wentz a player that's going to have problems in the future because he thinks he knows too much?
Well, I've already answered that question. I mean, until he understands that he doesn't know too much, yes, I can't answer the question yes or no. I'm not Carson Wentz.
Okay.
You know, guys. Some guys get it, some guys don't. LeSean McCoy didn't get it for a long time, then he got it. You know, Donovan didn't get it for a long time, then he got it. Michael Vick had to go to prison to get it.
Is that just maturity? You know? Maturity?
Well, it's not only maturity, it's humility. It's understanding what you can't do. If you watch Russell Wilson play, and if you watch Aaron Rodgers play, they understand what they can't do, and they understand what their teammates can't do. That's why they throw so few interceptions. They make good decisions about themselves and their teammates. That's why Chris Paul is the best point guard in the league. He understands what everybody can. Well, he used to be. He's probably a little too old now, but he understands what everybody could do and couldn't do. He's an absolute genius. He's probably the best all-around basketball player of our generation when you incorporate running a team, which is something that, you know, Kobe and LeBron didn't do. LeBron doesn't do very well. And even Steph struggles to do sometimes. But that's who you have to be. I thought it was brilliant to have Chris Paul and Aaron Rodgers, both State Farm guys, in the same commercial. Because they're the same guy.
Isn't that great?
Carson Wentz. I'm not saying Wentz has to be as good as Aaron Rodgers, but he has to understand how Aaron Rodgers got to be Aaron Rodgers.
Fascinating. Fascinating stuff, Mark. I was going to go in a few different directions there, but I'm glad we stuck to Eagles, and that was great stuff as usual. Your article came out today about Malik Jackson, yes?
Yeah, Malik Jackson, the defensive tackle who got hurt in the first game, And to me, that was the death knell of the season. They didn't have anyone to replace him. The guys who played behind him actually played pretty well, but they didn't have anybody of his caliber to replace him. And you can argue that he's a better offense, he's a better defensive lineman than Derek Barnett, who, you know, the third-year first-round draft pick.
Right.
So you lost your third-best defensive lineman on a defense that is completely predicated by defensive line play, both against to stop the run and to stop the pass. And he's a leader in the locker room. You know, he's a very, very mature player. And that's what they needed with Derek Barnett, especially right next to him. I believe Barnett would have been much, much better with Malik Jackson next to him. And of course, Fletcher Cox probably would have had more than 3.5 sacks. But Malik Jackson was a bigger loss to me than DeSean Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Who's not included on as many plays. If you know what you're looking at as a defensive coach, you know which plays are DeSean is likely to be included on. And yeah, you take precautions against that. And yes, that frees up Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert and maybe Nelson Aguilar if that mattered. But DeSean Jackson was like the cherry on top. Malik Jackson was a gear. He was a cog. He was something you had to have to make everything else work. And without him, it couldn't.
No, and it didn't. Marcus, we appreciate it, man. You can catch Marcus's article on Malik Jackson in the Philadelphia Inquirer. Marcus, appreciate you coming on, man. Great catching up with you, and we'll catch up with you soon, pal.
My pleasure, Jeff.
All right, Marcus. Marcus Hayes on the Comcast Business Hotline. I had to go a little over. Sorry, Ty. The stuff he was saying on Carson Wentz was fascinating. I wasn't even going to go there. I was going to go in a totally different direction until he kind of talked about some of those things. We'll talk about that on the other side. Ty, I want your opinion on that, and I want the fans' opinion and the listeners on what they just heard Marcus Hayes had to say about Carson Wentz and his attitude in terms of his offensive coordinator, Mike Groh, and his lack of offensive coordinator this year. And it'll just be him and Doug Peterson having at it on offense. I'm Joe Stachak here at 8 o'clock tonight. It's 97.5 The Fanatic. Stick around.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back, kids. 6:34 here at 97.5 The Fanatic. See, I knew if I worked hard enough, I could get this conversation to Eagles. I tried. I threw a trivia question out there for Tyler Zula. He nailed it. Then Marcus Hayes came on. We transitioned into a little Andy Reid congratulatory comments on winning his first Super Bowl, and then we talked about the article Marcus Hayes wrote today in the Philadelphia Inquirer about Malik Jackson, and then I'm not sure how we mailed it into the Carson Wentz subject on the Amazon series All or Nothing, the recurring show regarding the Eagles that debuted February 7th. I haven't watched it yet. I have to get busy and start watching that. And I thought he said some interesting stuff, stuff that my producer vehemently disagrees with. And we're going to go right now over to Tyler Zulli without further ado and ask him his thoughts and what he disagrees with.
I agreed with him on the cornerbacks and the linebackers. I think he was spot on there. I also think his comments with Schwartz are also spot on. So defensively, I agree with him. When it comes to Carson Wentz, I think that there certainly is a mindset that may need to change a little bit, but I just don't believe, I can't believe that he is, that he's as adamantly against everything as it may have been laid out. Does that make sense? I don't know if I agree with the fact that Carson is the reason that there's no offensive coordinator, there's no the mindset in the locker room. I can't view him as that guy.
Well, let me just say this. The fact remains, how we got here, I don't know, but the fact remains that there is no offensive coordinator now. And Marcus said something that, when I asked him if he was a petulant kid, immature, is he come off like that? Because it sounds like if you're acting like that, maybe you think you know too much, blah, blah, blah. He did mention that the Philly Voice had come out well before that story came out and had been mentioning things along the way. And Marcus Hayes had also heard them. So I think where there's a little smoke, there's a little fire. I'm not saying I'm totally on board with it, but I can see where you can connect the dots.
Like I said, I think that there is probably certain truths to some of it.
Okay.
I just, and again, I'm not in the locker room.
And you know I'm a hater.
Well, you are.
I'm not a hater. You are. I'm so not a hater.
There is somewhere subconsciously that I feel like you do not want Carson Wentz to succeed.
I love Carson Wentz.
I don't know what it is. Maybe you just don't like the number 11. Who wore 11 before Carson? Did you like him?
You freaking guys cracked me up. 11? I don't know. Tim McCarver. I'm trying to think of a number 11s for the Eagles. Mark Rippon, Redskins. No, I don't know. I'll look that up. Maybe it's in my subconscious somewhere. I know you probably.
I'll try to find it for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I know you don't hate Carson like we give you flack for, but I think there's a certain air about Carson one way or the other where it's like he can do no wrong. Or he is the cause of every single problem ever. And I like to tend to sit somewhere in the middle. There's got to be a middle ground somewhere. I bet you there probably is someone in that locker room that doesn't like him. There's 53 players.
Oh, I'm sure.
Plus coaches, plus staff. Someone in there does not like the guy. Because I guarantee you, someone in our staff doesn't like me. Someone in our staff probably doesn't like you.
What?
It's just numbers say it's got to dictate that way. Somebody somewhere, right?
I don't know.
One person.
That's very hurtful.
What? I'm not saying it's me. I'm saying one person, somebody somewhere has to feel that way.
Okay. All right.
It's just how numbers dictate.
Law percentages. I see what you're saying.
So I got to believe that there's someone in that locker room that doesn't like Carson Wentz, but I don't think it's the large majority. I don't even think it's a small majority.
But he listened to... Okay, you need to take that? Go ahead, bro. Take that call. He's taking calls back there, and you can feel free to chime in on what Marcus Hayes said. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. He talked about Carson Wentz not wanting an offensive coordinator. I asked him the question, what do you think about Doug Peterson going without an offensive coordinator this year? He said, well, Carson Wentz doesn't want one. He said, did you watch the series, the Amazon series, All or Nothing? I said, I haven't watched it yet, but I will. I've had some things go on the last couple weeks. My mother passed away. There's some crazy stuff going on. Haven't been able to get down and to do some of the normal things I do, but I will. And he said, well, he obviously knows what's up. He already had, he's a little preconditioned to know what's up with Carson Wentz. And the fact that the Philly Voice came out with that piece that I believe most of it. I don't think you would have to think the guys are just making stuff up and risking their careers to make up those sound bites and those quotes that came out of that locker room. I think where there's smoke, there's fire. And like Tyler said, not everyone's going to like you, especially if you're a hotshot quarterback who's making a lot of money, hasn't won anything yet. Maybe you walk around like you've won 10 Super Bowls, like the article cited. Maybe you rub some people the wrong way. Maybe you play favorites. Maybe you don't listen to your coaches. Maybe you do complicate things. I don't know. I'm just saying those are the allegations on Carson Wentz, and putting it together with what Marcus Hayes knows and where he's been and some of the things he's seen and watching the show. I have not watched the show, so I cannot comment on the show. I will. All I know, though, is that since Frank Reich, who he listened to, and they were very successful when Carson Wentz did listen to Frank Reich, Mike Groh has come in and the offense has not been the same, and they do not have one now. He got fired. Mike Groh did. So think about that. He has since been fired, and they have not replaced him. So for right now, it doesn't It kind of makes sense what Marcus was selling us. To me, I will do my own independent investigation and ask some folks and dig around and watch some shows and, again, talk to some people who are in there all the time And I will come out with my own answers. But again, I'm listening to Marcus Hayes. To me, he's very credible. He's been a friend of mine for a long time. I think he's one of the great scribes in this town. He's very smart. He's been around forever. Knows his stuff. I just think it was compelling. Oh, my goodness gracious. The lines have lit up like I was told they would.
So I got to tell you two things before we go to break.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the last player to wear number 11 before Carson Wentz was Josh Huff.
Oof.
Yeah. It's
I thought Huff was 13 for some reason.
He was.
Oh.
He also wore 11.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
He wore 13. I would imagine he wore 13 after Carson came in.
Gotcha. Okay, 11. Of course.
And real quickly, I don't want to take your time, but to me, the reason that I feel against what Marcus said was I look at Carson on the field, and there's personified leadership there. I truly believe that. And again, I'm not in the locker room, but I believe there is personified leadership on the field.
Okay. I saw a lot of it this year, to be honest, especially towards the end of the year. And we'll talk about it more on the other side. 610-632-0975. The talk has now shifted to one Carson Wentz. Is he the immature, petulant child that the Philly Voice kind of made him out to be via anonymous quotes by his teammates? The fact that he does not have an offensive coordinator now, the fact that the series on Amazon has portrayed the absence of an offensive coordinator at this point versus when he had one in Mike Groh and he wasn't speaking to him with that kind of displayed. We'll talk about that on the other side. He's Tyler Zuli. I'm Joe Stajak, 97.5. The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. We're coming right back.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. 6:48 here at 97.5. Now, just a little over an hour to go before we sign off. The NBA All-Star Game coming up from the United Center in Chicago. Joel Embiid going at it against Ben Simmons tonight as the Sixers are on a break right now. We've talked a little baseball scandal. We've talked a little Phillies early in the show, but we've gotten the subject back to who else? One, Carson Wentz. Marcus Hayes from the Philadelphia Inquirer was on with us about 10, 15 minutes ago, and he asked us if I had watched the series All or Nothing, the Amazon series on the Eagles yet. I had some things going on the last couple of weeks. It debuted on February 7th. I have not seen it yet. I will go home and watch it tonight, at least try to catch up unless an episode or two behind. He talked about, because I asked him a question as we started to talk football, about not having an offensive coordinator for Doug Peterson this year, and he said Carson Wentz didn't want one. If you've watched the show, he does not, he barely acknowledges Mike Groh's existence. So we got into that a little bit in terms of, you know, is he too big for himself? Does he think he knows too much? Is he a petulant little child? Do his teammates think that? Will this hurt him? And basically the bottom line is that Marcus Hayes said, you know, it depends if he wants to humble himself and kind of come to the conclusion. And this happens oftentimes in young people when they start to mature, they begin to realize that they don't know what they don't know. That's when the epiphany takes place. It's like Michael Vick in jail when the light bulb went on. After a few years when Donovan realized that he didn't know what he didn't know, boom, light goes on. I think it's part of the maturation process. For some people, it comes earlier than others. Some people, it never comes. Those are the ones you see that never quite get it. It's learning, it's knowing what you don't know. And Carson Wentz has had a little bit of a reputation. I don't know if a reputation is the correct way to say it, but there have been rumblings coming out of that locker room from the Philly Voice that have been well documented, anonymous sources saying that he can complicate 1+1. He didn't listen to his coaches, the offensive coordinator, walks around like he's won 10 Super Bowls, blah, blah, blah. I think to a man, his teammates like him. I really do. I think that there are some people who probably don't like him. Maybe some people in the offensive huddle don't like him because he uses Zach Ertz guy. And I believe that because he only looked for Zach Ertz 2 years ago and maybe the year before that, that it rubbed some people the wrong way. There was reports that guys would joke about it before the game, running backs, wide receivers. How many yards are we not going to get today because of Carson Wentz not looking our way and only looking one way and playing favorites and whatnot? There was some negative. There was a negative piece that Joe Santa Laquita wrote 2 Januaries ago. Was it last January? 2 Januaries ago? Maybe 2 years ago. Was it last year? I think it was 2 years ago. And again, where I think that where there's smoke, there's some fire, and I don't put it past the situation. I mean, it's happened with other quarterbacks. I mean, Mark Smith mentioned like Dan Marino, and there have been some quarterbacks that have, I think, kind of carried themselves like they knew too much too soon, and which happens when you have alpha males, alpha athletes in the locker room and the clubhouse. These guys, again, they're millionaires right out of college. Everyone has told them since they were born how great they are, how great they were. They can do things that only a few other human beings on the planet can do. So obviously, you know, it gives you a little bit of confidence, maybe overconfidence. And if you're intelligent as well, sometimes you think you know more than the boss, than the coach, than the professor. And maybe Carson Wentz has a little bit of this. Maybe he doesn't. But we're speculating right now, and I wanted to throw it out there and what you think or what your feelings are on that speculation about Carson Wentz. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Mike in Westchester. You're on 97.5. What's up, Michael?
Hey, how we doing today?
How you doing, man?
I'm good. Where do you want me to start here? You said a lot of different things. I can go from the offensive coordinator down if you want.
Yeah, well, let's stick with Carson. We only have a couple minutes before a break. Stick with Carson Wentz, and what do you think about him and there not being an offensive coordinator right now, and you know how he conducts himself with the offensive side of the ball under Doug Peterson?
You know, I think what Carson did this year was nothing short of miraculous. Top 5 quarterback with the skill set that he had. Now, he definitely needs to mature, like you said. I think that, like you said, if there's smoke, there's fire. But, you know, how much of that is just because, you know, guys were injured or guys were, you know, just a little jealous? Like, this is a grown man's sport. If you're not getting the ball thrown to you, you're not doing your job in practice. This is the NFL, all right? Can't be a crybaby. I think that's the first point you need to make. Okay. Second point, offensive coordinator, right? Again, this is the NFL. Who's watching the whole team during practice? The head coach, right? Now, is our head coach only going to be watching the offense? What happens if the defense is slacking off? Is that ball on Jim Schwartz?
Yeah, I don't think Doug Peterson has a whole lot to do with the defense. He kind of leaves that to, he deals with the offense primarily. I know he's the overseer of both sides of the ball, but I think primarily he lets Jim Schwartz deal with the defense.
Yeah, and I can agree with that, but at the same time, I feel that we can't put all our eggs in one basket. You have to have the coach's attention spread throughout the whole team. But
okay,
you do make a good point with that. I also think that, you know, give Carson some weapons this year and see what happens. You know, watching that All or Nothing, I don't even know if you want to watch it, to be honest.
Have you watched it?
It's so frustrating. I watched the first 3 episodes, and it's just hard to rewatch.
Why is that?
I mean, I was at that Atlanta game.
Oh, you mean watching replays of how the season unfolded and how frustrating it was?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
but
okay.
You also see the magic that Carson did. That throw in Atlanta where his knee almost hit the ground. How many guys in the NFL can make that throw right now?
Oh, he's special. That's
Mahomes?
Yeah, Mahomes probably. You're right.
So, I mean, I think that there might be some maturity things he needs. You know, people might think he has too big of a head, but
do you think he has too big of a head? Does it concern you some of the things that have come out?
No, I don't believe anything.
Okay.
Because I'm not in that locker room. If I'm not in that locker room, I can't make an opinion based off what's being said. I mean, this is Philadelphia. It's a tough market to play for. People have knee-jerk reactions. It's just hard to really take account and have an opinion on something that you can't hear if it, first person.
So you need to see yourself. You need to touch it, to feel it, to kind of be right there when it happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like the whole thing with Ben and Joel. Like, are they even fighting? Do we know that? Or is that just people having an instant reaction because of one post that Joel makes? Like, it's, you can't concern yourself with that. All you can concern yourself is, you know, are we winning? We losing? You know, when's Brett Brown getting fired? But maybe that's a story for another call.
It is. Michael, I appreciate it, man. Thank you for the call. We got to take another break. 610-632-0975. 1 hour to go. Your thoughts on Carson Wentz? And on the Amazon piece, All or Nothing, 3 episodes down. I don't know how many more there are left, but Mike says it's very frustrating to watch because you have to relive those games that we already lived once, and how frustrating it was, the Atlanta game and some of those other games early in the season where the Eagles lost and missed out on opportunities to better their record. And, of course, they had to then make it up at the end of the season, which they did. I have not seen the piece. I will start watching the piece hopefully tonight when I get home and give you a better opinion on what I see versus what I'm hearing, because I too, like Mike, like to kind of make my own opinions firsthand. I will listen to people I trust who I think have been there, know what they're talking about, not making things up or embellishing things, but I still would like to certainly get my hands on something firsthand, tangibly, that I can make that own assessment on my own without relying on other people second or third hand. 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stasek. One more hour to go here at 97.5. If not, we'll come right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.